Cecilia established CK Design International in 1999 to develop a specialty in library planning and design. She has worked extensively on the interior design of academic libraries, especially in Victoria, where her client list includes Melbourne and Monash Unis, Australian Catholic Uni, and the Victorian College for the Arts. In the public library domain, she has designed facilities for Marucci in Queensland, Ryde and Randwick in Sydney. She is with us today because on a recent visit to several leading libraries in New South Wales, the State Library of Victoria's Deborah Rosenfeld found that the stunning new fit-out of the Randwick Branch Library, located on the upper level of a shopping complex, was the most talked-about public project, library project in the state. It is certainly a library like no other. Cecilia is here to present insider training, interior design influences on library services. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Cecilia Kugler.
See if this works. Okay. Thank you for inviting me to come over, and excuse me if I talk too loud. I think the volume might need to be adjusted. I've got a loud voice. Essentially today, I entitled this Insider Trading because essentially I think it's important to have a little bit of knowledge to be used to your advantage. Now, if I can... essentially, the premise of most of the library design that we do, and I should have sort of said a little bit more about myself or the company. Essentially, I've been working on library planning and design for about 23 years and established my company in 1999 because I found that the master plannings that we were doing weren't going far enough in implementing the sort of the vertical surface and the benefits that interior design and working with finishes and volumes internally, how they help. So the most important thing that we need to understand is that when marketing experts assure us that when a service is consumed within the premises become part of that service. How's that service gets judged and how that service meets the expectations of those that go there. In my experience, a lot of librarians provide an excellent service and outstanding, and most people don't know, and their buildings fall short of that service. So, what else did I say there? Yeah, I said that. Essentially, the importance of good interior design, essentially, it costs the same whether you spend a lot of money without really giving it consideration. There are a lot of benefits to engaging an interior designer or a good internal architect. Most of the work that we do are actually refurbishments, so the architecture is already there and hardly ever can we do anything about it. The external influences, one of the external influences that is affecting library in the 23 years that I've been working in libraries, essentially what I've seen is that I was just talking to Gail here, who I was working on the project of the refurbishment of this building in 1992. And in those days, when I was working here and Baylor Library, it was all about how much you can fit in, not the quality of space. The quality of space had nothing to do with the performance criteria of those libraries. And when we had people visiting from Japan and other places where they had to almost beg students to come into the library, they were amazed that we could just pack everything in and pack and pack and pack and pack. So I'm glad the mentality has gone a lot further than that, and now the performance is about how much is it used, not just how many seats you've got there. You've got competing. There's another reason why 20 years ago interior design of libraries was barely non-existent, and there was very little awareness of interior design. At the moment, this every second show is about design, grand designs, little designs. Everything is about design and the benefit that brings. So there's a much higher awareness as to the benefits of design. So people are becoming more discerning. They've got choices to go to a bookshop where they can consume coffee and they can sit down. They don't have to come to the library. However, I think in those changes, the libraries have found a new value in society. Not found a new value. It's sort of uncovered through the veil of we don't have to come here. But now we come here anyway because it's the community hub and what all the presenters before have been talking about. And that is one of the strengths of libraries at the moment. The other thing is 24/7 access and those things that make higher demands on library staff and opening hours and those sorts of things. So there's a lot of reasons why to perform better. Insider knowledge, essentially, first impressions, and colleagues spoke earlier about the importance of the entrance. It's your greeting, and how are you greeting your customers when they first come in? Can they see who you are? How hidden are you? And Randwick Library, which I'll be talking about, is actually very, very hidden in the shopping centre. Connection and transparency, I think there's this issue of connectivity, both visual connections and digital connections, which I think are becoming, in every aspect of life and every aspect of service, is becoming the word. Transparency as well, and that the transparency of the service and simplicity, clarity. I didn't say that very well, did I? Clarity and definition. That's another thing. Books in themselves or library environments are very busy. So we need to create, as you do on a page when you're setting out text, you need to create a visual hierarchy and keep the voids and keep blank spaces in between because the environments are very laden with information already, visual, and it can become visual noise. Variety, comfort, flexibility, and identity. I think it's hard to just... I was thinking I need to have three things, but it's really hard to exclude. You know, it's very hard for me to choose which are the three most important out of everything that's up there. The flexibility needs to be inherent in everything that you do, and the variety and comfort, because as we were talking about people, places, and making places, you basically need to cater for different people. And in every aspect of life, customization, everything from the iPhone, you know, you can put your own cover, you can download your own apps. Everything is about customization. And if we don't sort of allow that flexibility of customization in the environments that we provide, then we one size doesn't fit all, sort of thing. And hierarchy, hang on. Anyway, this was the Australian Catholic University in North Sydney. And essentially, even though this project is already 5 years old, what I wanted to highlight here, where's the one, is this was the entrance before. And they were wondering why people weren't going in. It's not very welcoming at all. And because this was in an enclosed space, it didn't actually need a locked door in front of it. So, like Dan was saying today, you know, what are the questions? What are the new questions we need to ask? And one of them is, why this overemphasis on security when your whole building is secure? And by opening up just the entrance and exposing a little bit what goes on inside, it actually helps you and becomes a more welcoming. Putting a sign up that says welcome is not really that welcoming if you have to say it. I mean, you may just want to reinforce it, but the building has to say welcome. Okay. This is the Bowen Library, and we've been working with Randwick Council on a few of their libraries under different capacities. Not capacities, but essentially they've got different funding for different ones. So in this particular case, we were just redoing the desk. Am I moving in and out? Okay. And this was the entrance before with a typical Titanic and in the center, and sort of skinny entrance and exit. And basically, it was like a security control checkpoint. Libraries, because security systems have become a lot better, and I think in the future, honestly, I don't think you'll see the gates. Eventually, it'll be that we will look at those and go, "Whoa, remember the days when we had to put these big things in there." So, essentially, essentially, this was the width of your entrance, and that was the exit. By involving new technologies, and they'll continue to develop, and as the transparency, you won't really see this anymore. But there's an opportunity to use that data of how many books are going out of the library, and perhaps having a visual representation somewhere in the library saying, 10,000 books are out, and yours just make 10,001. like those speed things here, you're going at 100 miles an hour, 100 kilometers an hour. So essentially what I wanted to say here is the entrance, the opening up of the entrance and emphasizing the area with carpet and different ceiling treatments. Just it's a subliminal thing. You don't have to ask where the desk is, even though now is to your left as you come in. That's before the desk and everything that was, including the bags. And this is a much more professional-looking story. The same as, this was the exit before and that's the exit now. So makes a big difference. Now the borrow here sign and caters for two. Before, this was the self-checkout unit. You wouldn't know it was there unless somebody told you. And the mess, checking in and checking out of books, it's a messy endeavor and it's hard to make it look good. In this particular arrangement, basically the books... I don't have it here. But to the left of here is your returns, which goes directly into the returns room, which is behind all of this, and the books come out of the back. So the information and the lending function is much cleaner, much more streamlined. So now, Randwick... if you've picked up one of our little handouts that's got the central area in the Randwick new library, and essentially, I'll just see how I'm going for time because I need to speed up. the problems with Randwick was that it had a very strangled entrance, and of which that was the baby health centre. I don't know why they would have sublet that area out of the library in such a prominent position. And this perimeter, this is a walkthrough. This isn't a shopping center, by the way. And this corridor just had a massive block wall, and this were the staff areas. So you had no idea what was in the library. It wasn't that great to look at, but it was a great service, but very well hidden. So what we tried to do is to bring the entrance forward, but unfortunately we couldn't widen because of the lift here. We couldn't make that any wider, but we did, I'll show you pictures. We knocked down this wall and created a glass wall so you can see inside now. So a lot of people found that there was a library there that didn't know before. And we tried to widen the entrance and bring some graphics further out from the entrance so you could see it from afar. Just while we've got the plan here, essentially, the baby health centre that used to be in that position has its own entrance, and it discharges to the community meeting rooms, and this boundary is lockable so that on the weekends, if they hire out these rooms, they've got a bathroom, a wet area within the meeting rooms, and the baby health centre has lockable doors, so this becomes the ante room or the catering area. So this becomes a very flexible, multifunction space. And also, we looked at the synergies of the baby health centre and the library. So baby, essentially for SITLAP and a lot of parent education classes, people wait here, they go into these meeting rooms, and rather than coming out through here, they come out through the library. And they've got programs so that the toy library that is here actually opens the same days as the library. So there's a lot of work that's been done in order to maximize the resources, this space is just under 1,000 square meters, and the library occupies, I think, between 800 and 900 because 100 are taken up by the Baby Health Center. This was the corridor that I was talking about before, and that was the entrance to the library. And this is how much you saw of the library. It's this library here. There's nothing here that says there's a library. And that was the entrance to the library once you got to that spot. And what you saw were the doors to the Baby Health Center. So not exactly welcoming. So this just shows some of the concepts. What we were trying to do here, which is just some of the original sketches, is saying something that this relates to what you see down here. And the film hadn't gone up, so that backlit area actually took some film of the same color and design as that in order to make a gesture. So this is what you see. That's what it used to be. This is what we thought it was going to look like. This is the 3D mock-up. And this is basically what it ended up looking like. And same as other previous presenters have said, if there is not, I think there are at least three or four essential ingredients in any successful project. I think it's a great library manager, CEO of the council that really is supportive, because unless the support comes from all the way up to the top, the librarians have a real struggle in trying to convince people to spend the money and have the trust. So we were extremely lucky that the CEO of Randwick Council and Barbara Todd's dynamo, fantastic client, they were both very willing to trust us. And these images are used along the way, again, to reinforce or to test out different things, different ideas. I'm taking too long, I think. Essentially, the idea was that we brought out the graphics, the shopping center gave us approval to extend the graphics wall beyond our lease boundary. And we have this light that basically turns around the corner and hopefully leads you in. There's a returns room behind this area. And the corridor, the old corridor that used to be a big block wall, ended up, this solid section is where the staff is, which starts to break down and open up. And essentially that's the original elevation, and that's how it ended up. This is the seniors area. And this is what we thought it was going to look like, and that's more or less what it looks like. And this is the entrance to the Baby Health Center, which is also the entrance to the community rooms. Issue of simplicity, I think that was what you saw when you came in on your right-hand side. That was the desk, and this was more or less what greeted you when you came in. Essentially, that was the idea of this graphics wall, what we call the discovery wall, that has... we commissioned to work with us and have the street names, events, things that if you start looking, you see a lot of information about the area embedded in this graphic wall. And this, we call it the discovery wall. And this is the reserved items, serials display, everything more or less custom made with ideas that we've tested in other projects. At the end is the youth area. And basically, as you've seen, the plan is a radial arrangement. And the idea is that people sort of meander around the outside. This is looking back into the entrance. And that's the area where the desk is. And this zigzaggy wall, essentially there's two themes, which I'll show you where they came from. A zigzaggy wall and this sort of soft ended rectangles were part of this continuity of the theme. And the graphics were... essentially, we worked on all the signage ourselves in order to make it more integrated. And this is the desk. This is the information desk and the loans desk. And the self-checkout units are over here and the catalogue. So essentially, it's a very low, not imposing. The whole idea was that it looked friendly. And it looked more like a concierge in a modern hotel rather than a loans desk and a barrier between people. The staff area is behind this screen, and there were the original concepts. Essentially, there's a lot of this theming of the carpet reflecting the bulkheads, and using different ceiling heights in order to emphasize different areas. This is looking back again, more of the same. This is what it used to be like. This is more or less what it looks like. The client was very specific about not having slat wall or displays on the ends. We just made more room. It's not shown in here, but we made more room for face-outs inside the shelving. And the idea of the circular arrangement was that they could move the collection and there was no physical marker embedded in the joinery that would prevent them. The only thing that would change would be the clip-on signage, that they could generate a template and change it themselves. And the meeting rooms, again, this issue of simplicity and the idea that the client will continue to change the spaces that we design. So we work with Barbara and her team to see what systems they could use in the future. And this is basically one that you can put your own, you can create one big image or put smaller images of the Randwick historical images in there. This is where the angles came from and those other shapes. Basically, this zigzagging, very dynamic line, and the softer track. And nothing more complicated than that. You'll see that pattern repeating as well. And that pattern, somebody asked me if Randwick, when you think of Randwick, you think of horses. And that's precisely, even the people in Randwick, you think, okay, in West Ryde, we did a train because there was a train. In Castle Hill, they did the castle. So essentially, we did the horses. this is another idea that we attempted but didn't quite execute as we thought. Essentially, we wanted to repeat certain items of the cast iron balconies, but whenever we repeated it, it ended up being Moorish looking. So we had to simplify and simplify until they no longer resemble that, but they're related. And this again mimics the jockeys and that zigzagging. And this is the junior area with the shelving intermingled with the computer pods. Again, this zigzagging idea and the racetrack over there. And that was the entrance to the meeting rooms. This is the junior fiction area, which I just showed you. And apparently they're very popular. This is what the children's area used to look like before. This is some of the ideas that we did with little horses. And essentially we used standard items of furniture and just modified them so it wouldn't get so expensive. So that was the idea. Lots of little horses and a big horse. And on the outside is display, on the inside is seating. And those doors open up into the toy library, which apparently when the toy library is open, this is mayhem because you can't walk. again, more of these little circles again, and the graphics on the meeting room doors are the same. And we selected items that were quite tactile, so that some were more furry, some had little blips on it. So very tactile, so children would go through discovery, also some reflective surfaces. So the idea, but we didn't know, some of these originally were hollow, but kids started climbing them. We didn't see that coming. These are the meeting rooms, which somebody said, there's something very Jetsons-like about that interior. I said, yeah, I like them. It wasn't supposed to be the Jetsons, but it looks like the Jetsons. Essentially, we had a big air conditioning duct, and we wanted to blend that. Originally, there was a very strong bulkhead, very angular, so we wanted to blend that in. This is actually halfway through. This is an operable wall. And the two rooms divide into two. So basically, when the rooms are divided, there's a wall in the middle, and you can still access both rooms separately. Although they hardly ever do that. These are some of the ideas with some fabric that we found that already had the horses. And there's a kitchenette, and there's a lot of storage behind. So these are during construction, and some of the concepts and some of the ideas of how that turned out. This was the only area that had natural light, and it was like the seniors' area. And this is a little bit of lounging that there was there before. Now, this is the seniors area, which has, you know, the right sort of arms and everything. And this is the central space. And what we wanted to create, they call this the spot. There's a place in Ran we call the spot, which is a part of the commercial center. And in part of creating this ownership, we started naming things like they name them in Ranwick, where there's a gathering place. So you can call upon some of the areas that are really places in placemaking. And I think if you have the right combination and the right association, you can start helping bring the two together. And just around this central skylight, which is absolutely gorgeous to be underneath that, particularly at twilight when the sky goes really, really blue. Essentially, we were very lucky that the landlord allowed us to put this skylight in. It was a rare occasion where we actually could affect the building, and we got special permission under the lease, etc., bylaws. And they allowed us to create this 6-meter-wide skylight, which it really made the space, really. And apparently it's super popular. And it's really nice how the light goes through these acrylic panels, which we call the clouds, but they're not really clouds, and sometimes affect the colour, you know, how you perceive the colour. And the curtain around, when they do pull it for special occasions there, it does make the space. That's the skylight. And that specially commissioned light fitting, and that's the central area. Now, the reason I'm going to show you two little projects, which if I have time, yes, yeah, okay, good. Essentially, this is Watson's Bay, just to show you a totally different aesthetic, because really, this issue of identity that we've been talking about is so important that your library doesn't look like 50 million other libraries. It can look similar and you can borrow ideas from different places, but the place, the orientation, everything has so much to do with the way you present yourself. This is a library in Watson's Bay. It's a tiny little library. It's probably really marginally bigger than this stage. It's 70 square meters. They moved it from another very location that was very close. This is in front. This is where it used to be. It used to be in a heritage house on the park at Watson's Bay. And this is where we moved it to. It was actually the toilets, the public toilets. Yes, that didn't go down very well with some library friends. But there was a lot of opposition in this one to change it, but I think they saw merits because they could enlarge marginally. And also, this is right next to a coffee shop. So this space became this space. And it's what you can do with a small space. You don't have to have a massive budget or a massive space in order to really try to maximize it. The smaller the space, the more you have to get clever with it. And so essentially, this coffee shop that spills the lawn, next to the back of where this photo is taken, it's a coffee shop. This is a Spanish mission-style heritage. I'm not sure what level of heritage, but we couldn't touch much of it. And it's in front of the water. It's absolutely magnificent spot. And this area is actually where they have story time, and they also spill out on the lawn, where they're going to put a sail outside. There's a little catalogue, cereals, and everything is really packed. The shelving is a combination of joinery and metal shelves. So we use some library standard components, but we just converted because we couldn't quite get the look. I must say also, I forgot to mention that Ranwick is actually standard library shelving with canopies. It doesn't look it, but it is standard library shelving. We worked with ABAX on that one. And one of the things that if I can emphasize, if you can put back panels to your library shelving, please do. Everything looks so much better when it's got a backing rather than seen through, because you end up with a supermarket look. And if that's what you're after, then go ahead with it. But if you want people's eyes to stop at the book, put a backing on it. It does cost a bit more, but it makes a massive difference. This is some overhead shelving that we were so tight with the shelving, we had to hang it from the ceiling. In fact, I got this out of an idea at the coffee shop at Flinders Lane Library. There's a little coffee shop, and it's got like an overhead thing. That's where that idea came from. And this bench actually not only has collection, this is actually the librarian's spot. It's like a central island bench, so there is no desk to sit behind. It's just one end of the bench. There's really no room for anything else. There's slat wall on the sides for brochures. And on that side, that's actually the returns bin. After we took this picture, the self-checkout and self-return bins came over. And that's the segregated return bins, and that pulls out and you access the bin. Australian Institute of Management. 2 minutes? This is Australian Institute of Management, where we used library shelving mixed in with IKEA furniture. And because the budget was really tight, but we wanted to make it look a little bit different. It's a combined bookshop and library, so half of this footprint is the bookshop, and it seamlessly becomes the library shelving as well as the members' lounge. So this is actually another, the space is 250, 300 square meters, less. But anyway, this is another case where small doesn't mean neglected. It's actually, it's been very successful and very well received. And the idea of separating and creating some visual rhythm, rather than, we could have easily just had just shelving wall to wall, but that would have been not only boring, it would have really made the space look less than a bookshop. And we wanted to create that bookshop approach. So that was, and in this central area, we've got quick reference terminals with a display behind them. So we're using every bit of wall that we can find. And this is the lending area. And there's just one thing that I wanted to show you, if I can. We've just, as well as doing all those static, don't know whether I can use this, but as well as doing those other images that I showed you of the static displays, before, I can't use the software that my staff use. I used to hover over them and basically get them to feed me the images and tweak it. Now we upgrade it to this system where we can create these self-executable files, and we can send the clients what I'm going to show you. So as the model is developing, as the ideas are developing, you can actually have a look and walk through at your own pace. It's not like a pre-recorded walkthrough, which we could do before. But this thing, if I can, let me just... and this is, we're just, I'm going to hit the floor in a minute. Yep, I'm going to hit the floor. This is Randwick. This is a model of Randwick Library, which you sort of, I'm not sure whether you're familiar with having seen the few pictures. Anyway, when there's not 50 million functions open, and also I'm not a gamer, so I don't know how to use this. But... essentially, the idea is that, hang on, let me just elevate my eyesight. The idea is that you can, you can walk through and really walk. This is the youth area, and you can see it. And now I'm going to, this is the meeting rooms as you walk across. As you can see, I haven't been driving for long. But this is the idea. So I just wanted to show you because I'm super excited about this tool that now we can do, because I think it helps me in my work in communicating with my own staff, but I think it's a great tool to communicate with the clients in order for you as the and you can play around with this. We can put it up on a website if you want and download it. As the ideas develop, you can actually walk through yourself and think, okay, you know, the shelving needs to be higher, lower, and have that level of interaction. And there's also things that in here that I think
Anyway, the software is fantastic. You can overlay a plan and it tells you where you're looking at and things like that. So I think I'm not sure whether we have any time for questions. Probably not. Well, thank you very much anyway for listening, and that's all.